The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please pray with me. God of love and mercy, you have given each one of us so many gifts, so many tools to make our way through our life. We're thankful for the uniqueness and the ability for us to come together and share those gifts. Be with us today. Keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts open for a message that you may have. It may be in the music. It may be in the message. It may be in a greeting to a friend. Be with us in these moments. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So I thought I'd start this morning by sharing with you something that my family, my mom and dad, taught me as a child, and I'm also teaching my kids, and you can test them on this. They're here. And that is that in our life, it should be really easy for us to say three things. The first of those is thank you. The second of those is I'm sorry. And the third is I love you. So I thought I would start and say thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for trusting me. Secondly, I'm sorry in advance. You can see already we've started. I'm going to make mistakes, and I have been so thankful for the grace that's been extended to this point, so let's keep it going. And thirdly, I love you guys. I am growing to love this congregation. The love you share for one another is, I'm covered in it. It's amazing. So also thank you for that. So over and over, I read over the text for this morning and just waited, as I do for the Holy Spirit, to say to me, what is it that the people of God should hear this morning? This being my first sermon with all of you, I was excited to learn that Pastor Marianne was parked in the book of Ephesians, because the book of Ephesians is just a book that has so many different expressions of love. Today's reading is no exception, and we'll speak to that. But there was something else that continued to draw me in as I was preparing this message. One word, and that word was anger. This study of Ephesians turned into a tug of war with the Holy Spirit. And you, I don't need to tell you who lost that tug of war. That would be your intern. I tried prayers. I tried meditation. I listened to inspirational music. You know, that's a great way. But again, back to anger. There is a pretty good reason why I was trying to avoid anger. That's because there was a time in my life when it seemed like anger lived within me, always present, waiting and listening for that external trigger that would call it into action. God revealed to me a way to combat this anger in my life, and I'll get to that shortly. I'd really like to know how you responded to the title of the message and also the image that I chose for this title. And it's up there. Thank you very much. My intention with this title was not only to speak to how we're to use anger. Yes, I said use anger. I also wanted to provide us with an image that showed us one thing that is universal in the ability to push each one of us to our limits. So I chose traffic. If you have ever operated a vehicle where you placed yourself in the midst of the general population, and that could be a motor vehicle or a people-powered vehicle, and my kids laughed when I said that, but you know, bicycles, things like that, I'm 100% sure that if you've done that, you've had feelings of anger. Whether it is a motorized vehicle or not, it's there. And maybe you were the one that was offended. Maybe you were the offender. It happens, you know. Now, in order to create a bridge to our text for today, I want us to think about the context and ask ourselves this question. In the case of the Apostle Paul, what was his means of transportation? There may have been a couple of options for him. There's some skepticism, but I'm pretty sure that Paul's conversion account tells us or informs us that Paul did ride a horse. So imagine, if you will, that narrow path. Paul's riding along on his way to a congregation. He's running a little bit behind schedule when all of a sudden, looking further up the trail, Paul sees this. Now, I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the chances are pretty good that Paul may have been ticked off. Yeah. What, he may have said, of all the days to run into a caravan of camels, this is going to take forever. Ugh. Anger is real for each of us, and it was real for the people of ancient days too. Anger is also an emotion given to us by God. That's right. With all the emotions that are a gift from God, anger is in the toolbox. Here's what I want to tell you today about anger that comes from God. That anger cannot have a home in our hearts. That anger has to maintain momentum. It needs to stay on the move. Listen to our interpretation from today's reading. It said, "Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry." Anger can inspire us to change. It can create, it can advocate, and can also help us to be bold and courageous, but it cannot stick around. Anger in each of us must only be passing through. It's invited only to be a visitor, not a resident. We know that Paul was not speaking to traffic when he touched on anger in this letter to the church in Ephesus. So then, what is it that he was wanting to address? Bible scholars tell us, and I believe them, that Paul was calling attention to a socioeconomic issue in the church. Socioeconomic is really just a big word for money. Like so much of Paul's writing, the behavior of the people living in Ephesus, the Christian church in this thoroughly Roman city, was being called out. Looking back to the reading for today, we hear of lies, pretense, backbiting, and of course we also hear of honest work. I cannot help but pull these words directly into our context today. Even as the Christian church, we still struggle with the haves and have-nots mentality. And that can make some people angry. That anger that puts us in a place where we feel we are not getting what we deserve, that anger finds a home deep inside of the human heart and can also find its way into our relationships. This anger can cause us to question the very love of God. Because our time spent in studying the Bible is most often a word study, I want to shift our attention to another word that is so profoundly enlightens us as to the seriousness of this message from Paul. Around verse 27 from chapter 4 of Ephesians, we find the word foothold. As I work through the text trying to find an image that would help us all to recognize the gravity of greed and jealousy as it applies to money in our lives, this image came up. It's a trap. I kept going to this trap. This trap is a device that, by design, holds its victim in place with little chance of survival. Furthermore, this text gives undeniable and clear credit to the one who sets this trap for us. We don't need to look to an original Greek or Hebrew interpretation or across multiple translations to discover the one responsible for this danger is the devil. How does Paul describe the response of God to this behavior tied to what is really stewardship? In our interpretation, he says, "Don't break God's heart." This is the point in our reading where we turn our attention to our hearts. Our enemy wants our hearts and our minds to be turned away from God, knowing that when we look to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave his life to free each and every one of us, these traps that seek to hold us, we're able to love God and one another more freely. We are freed and forgiven through Jesus Christ and must be aware that our enemy does not stop in an attempt to distract us. I'd like you to all close your eyes right now and take a deep breath and just don't fall asleep, please. This is not that time. Listen to these most beautiful words and let them wash away the tension that may be there from this discussion on how we respond to material things. Ready for it? Agape love. Agape love. You can open your eyes now. There is a love so pure, so enormous, so overwhelming that it can fill your hearts to overflowing. This is the love God has in us for us in agape love. It is unconditional, it displaces judgment, and we see this love at work in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we open our hearts and minds and recognize what has been done for us and accept what Paul reminds us is a gift, this emotion of anger cannot find a home in our hearts. At a recent conference, our bishop, Pedro Suarez, said these words, and it really got my attention. He said, "So what, now what? So what, now what? How do we apply this to our lives?" We can take these words from Paul to the Ephesians and lay them like a template over our lives. I shared with you that I was challenged by anger that had a hold of me in a season of my life. What that anger did was take up precious and valuable space in my heart that was created for joy, love, and peace. When I was younger, before I got into skilled trades, I worked in retail. Yeah. The chuckles. Yeah, so you guys are going to get this for sure. If you spend any time in retail, there is one time during the year that is so challenging, so dreaded, so frustrating. It's not Christmas. It's not Black Friday. It's inventory. So you guys probably know where I'm going with this. Yeah. Inventory is when everything is accounted for. The process of inventory takes time, it's extra work, and it reveals our errors. I had to take an inventory in my life, and I mean a written list. I had to account for everything in my life that moved me towards anger. In doing this, I discovered that I had been missing out on a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and with others because I had allowed anger to blind me to what had already been done for me. Forgiveness became easier, the language of gratitude became more frequent, and God's love began to direct me. Last year, I served as an intern chaplain for a hospice provider in Palm Beach County. It was during this time as a chaplain that I witnessed the significance of anger that is rooted deep inside of people. Being able to celebrate with those who reconciled relationships that had suffered from the damage of suppressed anger, while simultaneously grieving with those who chose to wait too long and bringing that anger into the light, where it could be exposed to the cleansing power of grace. Brothers and sisters, we simply don't have time to hold anger as a leverage towards others. If you're being held captive by anger, maybe it's the same anger that the Apostle Paul presented to us today regarding money. Maybe it's anger that's found its way into a relationship. It could easily be both. Let today be the day that anger gets moving. Let's be clear, I am still a work in progress. You guys know that. I have found that taking an inventory is something I need to do more often than I would like to admit. Having the courage and strength to freely say thank you, sorry, and I love you does not come from us. It comes from Jesus working in and through us by way of the Holy Spirit. So keep anger in the passing lane. Keep it moving. Don't allow anger to grow roots within you. It's an emotion that God places in our lives for each of us to use, and then it's on to bigger and better things. God is faithful, and this agape love that I spoke of, it's there for us. And because of God's grace, even if we have been trapped by anger, we have hope in and through Jesus Christ to work through the anger to the promise on the other side. Amen. Amen. Sorry about that.